This is TWiT.
Tuesday, I think, is going to be a big day for Google. Google took a nap in 2020. They didn't even bother doing Google I.O. They said, it's too much trouble. But they're going to do a Google I.O. The keynote is Tuesday. We will be covering it. We'll be streaming it live. Jason Howell will join me. What is that, 10 a.m., John, Pacific? Pardon me? And Jeff Jarvis. Oh, good. That's great. Jason Howell, Jeff Jarvis, and I will be sitting at this table watching the keynote with you. It's 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern time, 1700 UTC. You can watch live at twit.tv/live. Sundar Pichai kind of telegraphed this in the analyst call a couple of weeks ago. He said, we've got a lot of interesting things. We got some big stuff to talk about. I think the nap time is over for Google. And I'm very curious. One of the things that's starting to leak now, normally they announced the new Pixel phones in the fall. Pixel 5, I didn't even bother because it was hardly any change. This one's going to be a bit different. We're already seeing design leaks. John Prosser, who is pretty good on these, leaked a design on his YouTube channel, Front Page Tech. He says these are the Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro. These are renderings. The front screen will go all, I mean, it is full screen, a very small hole punch for the camera, the front camera, very tiny bezels. There is an in-display fingerprint reader note. It's not the first we've seen. I mean, others have done this, but be interested to see how Google implements it. The back is two-tone. Camera module is the full width. It actually is the bar. And by the way, it's not a camera bump anymore. It's a camera bumper. That is a big raised bar on the back. Perhaps that's a flaw in the rendering. We'll have to see. And the Pixel Pro 6 includes a third rear camera not found on the Pixel 6. So it'll be interesting to see new capabilities. Google took some time off in 2020. The other thing we know is Google's going to do a custom system on a chip, including a custom processor. You mentioned that, Wesley. Is this Google looking at what Apple's done and saying, hey, we should do that too?
Yes, and also, not to knock Qualcomm, but their leaps have becoming shorter and shorter as they improved. And I'm not sure if you remember, I have a Pixel 2. I mentioned this in All Out.
Holy cow.
Right? But
a Pixel 2?
Yes, but that's when they had the video processor, the image processor, their right. custom silicon in that phone to help push image capture to the next level. And now it's kind of like...
So that was the big jump. Do you think the Pixel 4 and 5 were pretty much the same as the Pixel 2?
To me, yes. Yeah. They added solely to the Pixel 4.
I'd agree on that.
To the Pixel 5.
Yeah.
And so this is something that could actually help them leap into the next level of whatever they want to optimize. You mentioned the additional camera. So hopefully they're doing something with that optimizes it. But just from the design, it looks better than
it's pretty.
Any other phone out there. Not saying it looks like a lot better, but it looks different enough that you can say, oh, I know what that phone is.
Right.
All the previous Pixels were kind of like, they kind of blended in, especially if you threw a case on it. This is something, even with a case, it'll stand out, which in itself, regardless of what they're doing inside, is exciting for the Pixel line.
It feels like not only Google take a nap in 2020, and you can explain that with COVID, okay, fine. Although Apple certainly did not, Microsoft certainly did not, but Google seems to have taken that time to rest. But it also seems like... They lost the guy who was behind their really innovative cameras. They were the best cameras out there. The Pixel, though, seems to have also lost its way. At first, it was a low-cost reference design for people who wanted to get the best Android experience. Then they started charging flagship prices for it. Then it started to become, that's the one with the best camera. But then they rested on those laurels. It seems to have really lost its way. So... This would be a good time for Google to sit up and say, okay, we found the mojo. It was in Sundar Pichai's back room, and we're going to bring it out again. I want them to do that. We need the competition.
Yeah, and they need
even
that
if it's
Microsoft
good.
Mentality. Yeah, they need that Microsoft mentality too of like taking a loss to get it in people's hands. It's one of those weird things where you have a lower end phone, not lower end, you have a lower cost phone. And I knew so many people that are like, that must be like a cheap phone because I'm paying $1,200 for a Samsung. I'm paying $1,200 for an iPhone. Why is this phone only $700? Whatever it's lacking, I don't want that. Like, that's a general concept of average people that when you talk to them about, oh, have you looked at this Google phone? And they're like, no, because they think it's cheap. But then they try to raise the price and it's like, okay, well, now you got these two tiers. Now you got too many options for somebody who's not market share dominant. Samsung can afford to have an S Plus, an S Lite, an S Gigabit, an S Tablet, S Note. Like, they can afford that leisure. Google cannot. Google needs to really hunker down and focus and produce a great phone again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you, Dan.
Unfortunately, if it is, even if it is good, they also don't have a track record of continued success. So this also could be a blip where it is good, but that doesn't mean it's a trend, unfortunately. Yeah.
Hopefully Apple's threatening these people. Hopefully, like what I said earlier, I just assume that all these companies are talking to each other, trying to form a Voltron. Like, they need, like, look, we need to come together and have some semblance of fight to put up against what Apple's doing. Because Apple is creating a great wall that is impenetrable. And all these other companies are scrambling. Yeah, you better make your own chips. You better have your own sauce. That sauce better be good. You better consistently serve that sauce to try and climb out of this hole that Apple's put everybody else in. Because it's dangerous right now. Apple is smooth sailing with its mobility. And, you know, their computer's not so much. You know, Microsoft, I built a PC. My PC is a baller. But now I got this little M1, you know what I mean? This little Mac Mini, and they try to pull me back in the game, you know what I mean? Because
I can say this?
Now they trying to get me back.
And I don't want to say, I'm very excited about the M1. I'm very excited about Apple doing its own silicon. I feel like Intel's kind of talking about taking the big sleep. Intel hasn't done anything in years. But has Apple really, and it's early days, so, you know, maybe they will, but has Apple really done anything besides say we got our own silicon? I mean, they haven't really done anything that takes advantage of this. I feel like part of the problem is everything we've got right now is really faster than we need. It's fine. Okay, so your Pixel 2 is fine. It's 5 years old, but it's fine.
I'll tell you from my point of view, because I can't, well, I got an R6 back there, but I'm shooting on my R5, my Canon R5, and it shoots 8K. I have a AMD Threadripper. I've got an NVIDIA card in here. I've got 16 gigabytes. Like, I'm pretty maxed out. I got 128 gigs of RAM in this thing. And guess what? For 8K video, I still have to make proxies, and this thing chugs along and it sounds like a jet engine. With this Mac Mini, by itself, using Apple software, I can actually import 8K raw video, and it's not smooth, but it works. And I don't have to do anything to chop it up and use it to work. Like, that's power for my case use for somebody. Even my R6, the files are so large. My PC, I have to do certain things to make it run right. But whatever they've got going on, all this hand shaking that they're doing inside of this little thing, it even works on my iPad better than it does on my computer. Now, I can still edit it on my computer. I know the workarounds. I know how to do it. I know how to get the job done. But this little thing has impressed me with just my case use of that. Like, I just take this raw footage out that's huge, and it just works on this machine. I don't have to do anything. Like, it just works. So they're doing something.
And it's quiet?
Yes.
It's not hot? Like, my Intel Mac was... You could cook an egg on it.
Believe me, I was excited, and I still am about the M1 and what Apple will do with this going forward. But look at the iPad. It's so overpowered, as an example. They're putting the M1 in the new iPad with 60 gigs of RAM. They've never had more than six. With a 2 terabyte storage device. That's a desktop computer at a desktop price.
You got a desktop in your hand, Uncle Lee.
But it's running iPad OS. But it's like, I don't think people are going to get the benefit of it.
I don't know.
That's true.
And what are they doing? What are you? I mean, besides 8K video. Okay, good.
I'm just saying. I use my iPad to edit videos sometimes too, and edit photos and things like that. And now I got a thing with 50 megapixels. Like, it's big. They're big files and certain things that you do on them. Okay, yeah. You don't understand the TikTok social media world of today. Okay?
I don't. You're right.
An iPad Pro with a cell phone in there, and guess what? You're going to be the slickest, sexiest TikToker on the block.
But TikTok doesn't display 8K, does it?
Huh?
TikTok doesn't display 8K, so why are you working in 8K?
Just don't listen to what I'm saying. Follow what I'm doing, baby. You see what I'm saying? When you got 8K, I can make 2 4Ks. I can make 10, 1080, 1280. I'm saying I can crop down and zoom in and make my eyes still look super 8K. Uncle Leo, again, you're not understanding the way the world works. We are Snapchatting, we are TikToking, we are YouTubing out here in these streets, Uncle Leo. And let me tell you, iPad Pro with a cellular device in there, all those devices think that you're on a phone. Some people in there look like they work for CNBC and CNN, okay? They out here with an iPad Pro.
Oh, I agree. I'm just looking at Wesley's video, frankly, and Wesley is higher res than I am.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. Good. What are you using for your camera there?
It's your laugh. It's all about lighting. I'm using a Logitech
You're kidding.
C922.
Those are good cameras, but it looks like a DSLR. It looks like he's using your R5.
So
that backdrop, that
it's lighting. It's lighting.
It's them good jeans too. Okay, it's them good jeans.
Good jeans don't hurt.
We don't have a tie on like that for Dan, but we doing all right in these streets. You know what I'm saying? We doing all right.
This is the best looking panel we've ever had. I have to say,
you ain't never lied.
Oh my God! Anyway, I'm excited about Tuesday. If you're going to have walled gardens, you want everybody competing vigorously, at least. I mean, I'd like to see everything be open. That's not going to happen. So at least you want everybody competing vigorously. The worst kind of walled garden would be what Microsoft had in the 90s, which is a 100% dominant walled garden. Then that's bad.
Could this just be Google picking up where Intel and Qualcomm have kind of stumbled? I mean, they just...
Yeah, I think that was Wesley's point. The incumbents talk about sleepy. They were resting on their laurels. It's the innovator's dilemma. Intel is doing really well making, integrated chips and systems, integrating their business, making their own stuff. All of this stuff, they got very invested in it, spent billions of dollars on fabs. And then it turned out that wasn't the way to do it. The fabless guys came along like Qualcomm and ARM. And it's like, whoops, but we've put so much money into it, we can't pivot. And that's the problem, right? In fact, in a way, that's why Microsoft's kind of impressive, because they're one of the very few companies that made the pivot and made it work.